What is up, you worms of Nile? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, I'm going to hit you up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, confusing, troubling, makes you hate Shakespeare when you read it for the first time because you have no idea what he is talking about. Break it down, tell you what it means, and then try to sneak it past Kevin in whatever way I want to this week during the podcast. This week, the word of the week is Mark. Mark. M-A-R-K. This word has 9 meanings, according to ShakespearesWords.com. But the first verb meaning is to note, pay attention to, or take notice of. Mark was a mark who marked the number of times he marked out by making mental marks about the number of marked markers he used to color in pictures of Maker's Mark. You mark? Mark? Here we go. Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast. Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week we'll banish you, sport Shakespeare, and celebrate our 100th episode by finally doing all the third things we've been teasing in our openers since episode 1.
Ooh, that's fun.
But first, let's duel. In the duel, we choose 3 questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. I won the coin flip before the show, and I've elected to go first. So here we go. Question number 1, particularly relevantly to the Shakespeare's birthday party we just threw here at No Holds Barred.
Yes.
Emily Gans emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, which character from the canon would you least like to plan a party with? I'm thinking an important party, like an engagement party, milestone anniversary, or perhaps live podcast episode. So, least like to plan a party with. I feel like this is an interesting question because the people who... It's not someone who's just not going to help.
Right.
Because those people are actually fine.
Sure.
When I was working my way through like high school and whatever... I longed for the people who were just like, just tell me what, just put my name on the end.
Right.
And I'll just do it.
Yeah.
And that
so
was
you're
fine.
A leader
as,
in your group.
As a non-delegator, someone who has problem delegating to this day,
yeah.
Like the people who are my worst partners are the ones who are like very, very actively hands-on.
I know nothing about that.
Which is why we get along very well. So
perfect.
For me, Adriana from Comedy of Errors is someone who I do not want involved in the planning process because she's going to have a lot of strong thoughts that
yes.
I would rather...
Go on.
She is going to stab me in the throat if she doesn't get them. I think she's not much of a compromiser.
Fair.
So, and she scares me. So Adriana from Comedy of Errors, I would least like to plan a party with.
That's fair. I'm going to go with, in a different direction, someone who I think has, in his short amount of time on stage, shows a complete lack of good planning. Also, someone who likes to manipulate others, which is not something I like in a partner for a party planning purpose, is Arthur from King John.
Okay.
The child who falls.
The 12-year-old.
Yeah. He has the line, the wall is high. And yet, I will leap down. And he leaps to his death.
Like, uh-huh.
This person clearly doesn't plan things well.
Okay, good.
So I don't want that guy in charge of a party that I want to be at.
A real lack of foresight being shown.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like he treats Hubert, he like manipulates Hubert, and then he's like, you know what? I know what to do. I'm just going to jump. What could possibly go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And then he literally dies.
The Shakespeare Leroy Jenkins moment. Yeah.
So I don't want to plan a party with that guy.
Also a 12-year-old, generally.
Also,
not
yeah, he hasn't been to any party that I want to be to.
No, I'm right, because he can't even get the booze. Like, he can't even do the beer run. Why bother?
What's
why
the point?
Even, why even go?
Get
question number 2. Sam Buchanan, who is at a Fungin on Twitter, tweeted us at No Holds Barredcast to ask, odd if Paris took Osric's place or played Osric. What would be the best example of recasting a role via auto-corrected character name? Daniel.
Sure. So this question came from... A couple of weeks ago, I was texting something about Osric.
Yeah.
and it got autocorrected to Paris.
Okay.
And I tweeted about that because I was like, that's weird. It got autocorrected to a Shakespearean word.
Yeah.
So this idea of like an autocorrected name benefiting somebody to me goes to, if you were an actor who was cast in Romeo and Juliet to play Peter.
Uh-huh.
And someone like texts you like, I'm playing Peter, but it corrected to Petruchio.
Sure.
That it's like, it's a whoops. Nice upgrade. Like, that just like, if you're playing Peter, you're of a type that is probably not playing Petruchio.
Sure.
Peter would have been yet. More like the, well, maybe not.
Or ever.
Or ever. Or like, maybe you missed that one. So I picture that being like that actor's actor nightmare, waking up being like, you're going on as Petruchio. Be like, what? No, wait, it's a lot to do.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that's what I would go with.
Okay. I didn't have that context on it. So I was just thinking what the most disruptive switch between two roles would be. So I went with Horatio from Hamlet and Hortensio from Shrew.
Sure.
So I'm picturing like Horatio all of a sudden is like switched around and his because Hortensio is the teacher, right? The one who's trying to.
Hortensio is the musician?
Yeah, the one who's teaching, who gets El Cabonged with the guitar. So I'm picturing Horatio being like, I didn't want to be a part of this. But then,
I'm a philosopher.
Right, why am I here? And then Hortensio as Hamlet's best friend and is actually just trying to score with Ophelia the whole time. He's like, I'm going to be Ophelia's tutor. And Hamlet's like, really don't have time for this.
Please don't do that. Please. Check out my antic disposition real
quick. I have
quick.
Things to accomplish. There's a reason you're here. So Horatio and Hortensio.
Can you picture like Horatio kind of doing private lessons?
Oh, for,
of any kind.
Absolutely.
Like, oh,
absolutely.
For like $25, I'll just teach.
Yeah, right. Or just being like a therapist.
Right.
I'm like, I've seen some things. Have a seat on my couch. Tell me more about that.
How do you feel?
Question number three. Alice Juniper emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, I thought it would be funny to have a TV show for kids called the Glendower Power Hour with Owen the Magician Glendower hosting.
That's very funny.
Which Shakespeare character would you pick to hold / preside over a PBS what? Education? You're
outraged. Want to try that again?
Which yes. Shakespeare character would you pick to hold
/
preside over a PBS educational kids show? And what would the show be like? So I feel that when I won the coin flip, I wanted this question because I feel like the answer.
You didn't win the coin flip.
I did win the coin flip.
No.
Okay. Well, you when I got to it. Choose which, oh my God, which order I get to go in. This has got to be Prospero, right? And
sure.
And Prospero, this is how he rehabs his image once he's off the island. Like, I know I wasn't a great ruler before. I'm back. And this is how I'm going to re-win everyone's favor with Prospero's Magic Morning.
Yeah.
Saturday morning cartoon with Prospero and like Caliban is like Oscar the Grouch. And they're just teaching kids about math and reading and magic and like nature. It's like Bill Nye meets Sesame Street meets The Tempest. So Prospero's Saturday morning TV show.
I like that. I like the idea that there's someone magical in charge. And it's really, I was sent by this question. It's like, well, what makes a good, I think the first person I thought of in terms of PBS, like kid show host was Chief Lynn Thigpen from Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, sure. Sure thing, Gumshoes.
Then I was like, oh, yeah, she's cool. But then I was thinking about all the shows on Nickelodeon with like the fantastical creatures.
Yep.
So I think in the modern era, a PBS TV show with a Shakespearean character, I'd actually like Ariel from The Tempest.
Sure.
For this whole sense of like, it's basically sketch comedy and Ariel can be a different character.
She can be anything.
Every time.
Yeah.
That it is like this fantastic creature that does magic and is a shapeshifter and is really just has a blast, but is also stretches kids' imagination. Because I think that's the beauty of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
That like, they teach you can have a creative answer to things.
Yeah.
I think Ariel kind of, that like shape-shifting
supernatural
Ariel character is a cool host.
Over Puck.
Yeah, I thought about it. Yeah.
Maybe Puck would be better for the HBO equivalent of this show.
Yeah, Puck
not
is
PBS.
Like for like the PBS late night adult.
Right.
Also, like your kids can watch this if you have like the kids that you stay up till midnight.
Right. Exactly. The cool kids. Anyways, folks, that is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of the duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, and we are on Facebook at facebook.com
slash
No Holds Barred cast. Daniel.
Yes.
Shall we do some homework?
Yes, please.
Mortals, perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from Yahoo Answers user Frosty.
Ooh.
Under the heading, "What sports did William Shakespeare like?" They ask, "I have an English project to do, and I can't find any answers to this question. Can someone tell me with a reference site?" And that's it.
Oh, no.
What sports did William Shakespeare like? I have an English project to do, and I can't find any answers to this question. Can someone tell me with a reference site? So I have an important footnote to this question, actually.
Go on.
And this is a bit of our the beginning of our 100th episode spectacular celebration.
Oh.
You know, obviously, the format of taking a stupid question from the internet and giving it our old college try to answer it,
yes,
is liberated from the a little podcast called My Brother, and Me.
I've heard of it.
Where they do a similar thing with advice questions rather than homework questions.
Yes.
You should give them a listen if you have not listened. If you enjoy comedy and laughing, it's a great podcast. In episode 351, they address this question.
No kidding.
This was a Yahoo answer that they had sent in.
Oh, wow.
And to which, you know, we're taking it over as the experts in this area.
Yes.
In the Shakespeare homework question. We would also gently but firmly encourage them to stay the f*** on their own corner.
Wow.
McElroy's. And leave
you,
this
McElroy's.
To the professionals. So let's show them how this is done. What sports did William Shakespeare like, Daniel?
Well, I'm so confused for the context of like why and what English teacher is assigning this question.
Right. What is the assignment?
Like,
yeah, it's one of those weird.
Really understand. Like, this is a Google search.
Right. We usually yell at people who just copy paste the homework question.
Yeah.
But I actually would love to see the homework question.
Right. I think typically Elizabethan games were a little bit more barbaric than the ones that we like.
Right.
There were. There's bear baiting.
Yep.
There was, hunting,
yep.
The sort of the hunting sport.
Sure, there are a lot of references to that.
You get that a lot. Archery, like killing.
Yep, fishing.
Right. It involved a lot of like man versus animal.
Right,
sports.
Sure.
It was certainly not regulated professional athletes.
Right.
It was not the,
no basketball.
The
they weren't
culture.
Big NBA. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the only other references I can think of are the tennis balls in Henry V.
Yes.
And then...
Tennis balls still would be different than the tennis balls that we now recognize. It would have been a different game.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't...
No, I mean...
I mean, it wasn't like...
No, like...
Super fat. It was a
no, of course
kind of
not.
Like
right.
Lawn tennis.
Right, and like doublet and hose and whatever.
Right.
And football, as referenced in Comedy of Errors in King Lear.
Sure.
But
wrestling is in As You Like It.
Yeah. Football being soccer, but the Elizabethan version of soccer where
right.
It's like people would get very badly hurt. I was actually, when I was doing the research on it, so I found this story on thetelegraph.co.uk where they're talking about football, and they said under Elizabethan law, footballers could be jailed for a week with follow-up church penance to atone for their nefarious habit in playing this barbarous football game where people would like die.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Australian rules.
Yeah, probably closer.
A little bit more like, wait, you're doing what to each other with how little pads?
Right.
I think this quick little search online, what I'm looking at here again is mostly hunting, ferocious, like boar hunting is another one.
Right.
As featured in Game of Thrones.
Sure.
But that sense of like, the sport, I guess, rather than just why does it matter, what elements of sports translate to like plays,
what sports did William Shakespeare like?
It's not clear. So what do we know about Shakespeare? We know he was a glover's son.
Mm-hmm.
We know he was raised in Stratford.
Right.
There's not a lot of references to him playing sports.
No,
the early plays aren't.
No.
Sport late. I mean, it's more like...
There's fencing.
He has a passing knowledge of sports, but doesn't
sure.
appear. Although there is some stuff about him being a deer poacher, or at least involved with a group
right.
of people who were poaching deer.
In that hunting, yeah.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that's a different kind of sport.
Well, it's right.
But it is.
Sport.
Know, it is.
Literally sport.
So I think, I guess, to make this interesting, Shakespeare was more into the sort of sports that were competitive and ferocious than, like, the friendly. It's more like the basketball of 20 years ago than basketball of today, where, like, everyone's right. friends.
Right. They're, when they were cagers, when they were throwing elbows and getting right. legitimate fist fights, and Kermit Washington
there's a violent
punches Rudy Tomjanovich and breaks his face in the middle of the court.
Yeah, exactly. Like, things, just like the theater, things happened at the sporting events
right.
that were not safe.
Right. Like a bear baiting that was happening in his theater. It's like, no, a bear on a chain is going to fight like eight dogs.
Right.
Party down.
Something will go
pay-per-view
poorly
event.
For somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
He'd be into MMA now. He'd be an MMA bro.
Right.
Okay, so I guess just to put a... And so we also need... It's interesting that this question says, I can't find any... Can someone tell me with a reference site?
I don't get... I just
so
don't get
I'm gonna
the question.
Say, I'm going to help out Frosty here.
I do love Frosties.
And what? Say...
What was your favorite kind of Frosty?
Well, at Wendy's, there was just the chocolate Frosty.
But when were you last at Wendy's? They have the vanilla Frosty and
at
the chocolate.
At the last Shakespeareans before I drove home.
Nice, perfect. Set a base.
Got miles to go before I sleep.
Perfect.
Give me, it's me, I want the Baconator.
Quadruple Baconator, please.
What was the chocolate? I'm a classic man.
Yeah. With the fries or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dipping them?
Mm. Of course.
Wendy. I mean, Wendy's is the best fast food joint.
I don't know about that.
What are you taking?
I think
what you got?
I think Burger King has
oh,
the best
get out of town.
Burgers
Burger
and fries,
King,
but
please.
Wendy's has the best chicken.
Wendy's is the best overall experience.
I like Wendy's chicken. I take Burger King overall.
No, Wendy's. Let us know. Hit us up. Yeah, no holds barred cast.
What about the Burger Queen Wendy? A mashup restaurant and just screw you, McDonald's.
I'm into it.
Right?
An unholy alliance.
Perfect. so that's our
that's
favorite
our homework
sport.
Question, right? I would do so just to get the three paragraphs here with reference instead of a reference site, perhaps we could refer to the text Frosty.
Oh.
Oh. Call me old fashioned.
Hey, old fashioned. What
Yo.
Do you want to do for this question?
So we could say hunting.
Yes.
Bear
baiting.
Bear baiting. So wait, hunting referenced in Twelfth Night?
Yeah.
What do I hunt? The heart?
Yep.
Great, perfect.
Yep.
Angling, we could use, if you may want to do fishing as a separate one.
Oh, I see, yep.
Winter's Tale? That could be Winter's Tale. Sluiced his neighbor's pond.
Yep,
and then I would put football from, like a football you do burn me back and forth, or you base football player from King Lear.
More than tennis from H5?
Well, they don't actually play tennis, he just sends tennis balls.
But the whole...
We could do five. We could do an old-fashioned seven-paragraph essay.
Ooh, this is the 100th episode
tingling.
After all.
Let's go for the seven
okay,
spot.
So then we have
tennis
from Henry V.
And then bear
wrestling
baiting.
From
oh,
As
yeah.
You Like It.
Yeah, let's do that wrestling first. So wrestling, so hunting, fishing, football.
Tennis, wrestling.
I mean, there you go. That's like an Olympic squad.
That's
for
pretty
great. For Chaboy Billy Shakes.
1 point per sport. 5 points for Chaboy's.
Count it.
Oh, booyah.
There you go. So that is, you're welcome, Frosty. That's what sports Shakespeare liked. Daniel.
Yes.
So we do some everyday shakes.
Yes.
This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is, I banish you, as featured in Act 3, Scene 3 of Coriolanus. Let's turn it over to our old friend Ryan Salvato to hear the phrase in context.
You common cry of curs, whose breath I hate as reek of the rotten fens, whose loves I prize as the dead carcasses of unburied men that do corrupt my air, I banish you! And here remain with your uncertainty. Let every feeble rumor shake your hearts. Your enemies with nodding of their plumes fan you into despair. Have the power still to banish your defenders till at length your ignorance, which finds not till it feels, making but reservation of yourselves still. Your own foes deliver you as most baited captives to some nation that won you without blows. Despising for you the city, thus I turn my back. There is a world elsewhere.
Thank you, Ryan. That is I Banish You, as featured in Act 3, Scene 3 of Coriolanus. Daniel, you want to give us some context?
Sure. So this is the moment when Coriolanus comes into the marketplace, and they're basically, Brutus and Sicinius are there saying, like, let's have him in. We're going to make him lose his composure in front of all the people. So it's a completely, he's walking into a trap where they end up banishing him because they're like, show us your wounds. And he's like, I don't care about you. I just want to fight. And they're like, no, come on. You have to be our leader. And then when they find out, like, nope, he's banished. We're kicking him out. He's like, you're kicking me out. I kick you out. I hate you all.
Right.
I hate everything about this. And I will, here's my curse. I leave you all these curses and I'm going to turn my back now on you and I'm going elsewhere.
Right.
It's the banished turning into the person being like, you know what? Screw this.
No.
I'm out.
Right.
I'm fired. Screw that. I quit.
Right. Turning the tables. Right. Yeah. And that's actually the first example I have is for where you can use this.
Oh, nice.
It's, you know, if you're getting fired or you're getting dumped and it's like, especially like in a relationship when you're like,
yes,
I know it's over. I know we need to break up, but like, she would be so devastated if we broke up right now. So I'm like, maybe I'll hold on for a little bit. And then she's like, I think we're done. And you're like, no, I know we're done. I banish you. No. And then it's like, sure you do. I know you're just really hurt right now and I'm here. But I know. No, damn it.
I love it. I think this is something that parents out there who are coaching Little League baseball teams, I feel like every coach should just have this in their back pocket.
Say to an ump or to a parent?
To an ump when they're getting thrown out of a game.
Like Tommy C, take note for the upcoming Swampskit games.
That's right. You fight the call. When you get thrown out, you're like, you come and cry a curse. And like, take this as a promo on the little kids in the infield.
Sure.
You throw me out, I banish you.
It's like, but I will go sit in the car before I get arrested at this Little League game.
Well, that's probably the best choice, yeah. But at least hit up the concession stand for some hot dogs on the way.
Right. Or for you students, I know we have a lot of high school English students listening now. This is a good one. If you ever get, of course, if you're listening to a Shakespeare podcast, you're probably not the type to get in trouble.
Well, hey, you never know. We are the badasses of Shakespeare.
Sure. Young Bucks pose. But if the teacher sends you to the principal's office, go to the principal. Like, no, I banish you.
Right.
Cool, but you do have to go to the principal right now.
Fine. I'm going. But you're banished.
Right.
So loyal listeners will know I work in a restaurant, and there's a pathway into our restroom that takes you through a pretty tight little
danger
alleyway.
Zone.
Right. It's like a lot of six tops. And then frequently we'll put people on the end to make a seven top, but it creates a real narrow passage. And we're always have to like just deal with it and like scoot around.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. A couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago, there was this little like squat, fat kid, probably 9 years old, curly, like afro hair.
Sure.
Just like hulking through on his way to the bathroom. And this elderly person was in the end seat. Not elderly. This older person.
Sure. I don't think they listen, but okay.
End seat. And the little kid goes, move. I said move. And like didn't even pause. And it was so authoritative that the adult was just like, right away. And we were all like, did that just happen? Like, this kid has clearly been picked on.
Sure.
Enough that he's like, you know what? I banish you. Like, there was no excuse me, miss. Excuse
wow.
me, sir. It was just like, get out. And that, I feel like, is I banish you.
I like it.
As a usable usage.
If you are getting sassy at our live recording and we need to pull the mic from you, you are banished. Sorry.
Sorry. Twitter users out there.
I banish you.
I thought about this originally as like a potential, this would be great to have in your back pocket if you're getting thrown out of a bar. But I think that's a little basic for the 100th episode.
Sure.
So I think this is good to have in your back pocket for bars that you're not let into.
Like if you, the bouncer's like, I'm not letting you in.
And then you just have this and just...
You're already drunk, pal. I can't let you in.
Sotto voce.
You're already drunk.
Common cry of curse. And just like, just have it there. Like people have the alphabet backwards.
Sure.
So no matter how blacked out you are, you can bring it right back to being like, I banish you.
Right.
And walk away. And like, no, no, come back. You actually, you can come in. You're like...
That was a great monologue.
No,
come on in.
I will never
come
back.
I wouldn't come in if you paid me. That's not true. If you paid me, I would come in. Let me rephrase that.
I banish you. There is a bar elsewhere.
There is a bar elsewhere. God, words to live by. You know, for our another 100th episode celebration here, that this with Ryan performed this monologue as our very first.
Yeah.
Everyday Shakes when we did You Come and Cry of Curs.
We've come so far.
That episode not available, of course.
Unless
we'll get to that later. But so it's nice to hear, you know, and that was in that first episode with Ryan doing it on his cell phone, screaming into left it as a voicemail, right?
Yeah.
So we used back when we were...
That predated the podcast. That was left like years before this started.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those people, I will frequently get complaints like, hey, I can't leave you a voicemail because your voicemail's full.
Yeah.
It's because I still have like that voicemail.
That voicemail of Ryan.
And several
others,
just people doing monologues.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to save that.
I'm going to save that.
I need that more than like, your phone bill is due.
Right. Like, oh, totally. Nope. You don't need to leave that.
I can see the missed call and move on.
skip. So it's nice to have Ryan back in on an actual recording device. And this monologue, which we've also done, we also did There Is a World Elsewhere at some point, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So this monologue, great monologue.
Appeal to like what we like.
Yeah. Three actionable everyday shakes terms. You Come and Cry of Curs.
Yes.
There Is a World Elsewhere.
Yes.
And I Banish You. So this is a good one to have in your back pocket.
Right. Just learn it. Just have it. Literally right in the back pocket.
Yeah. So that, use it. Let us know how you use any of those three in your everyday conversation. Banter corrections plugs.
Yes, there are, I think, so many.
I think so too.
I'm very excited. I would like to take a moment to clarify a position I took on a previous episode of this podcast.
Go on.
I last episode stated that I think The Lion King should be taught as
subversive
lit course. I would like to clarify. I believe The Lion King must be taught
in
every English and lit course in high school across the country.
Digging in.
Period.
Great.
This should be one of the most important texts and films that we teach to our students ever.
Ever. All right, that's a bold stance.
I felt like in the last, MJ Brady came after me.
Yeah.
I mean, he at one point said, he asked a question where this was an answer that you couldn't use.
Yeah.
Liam got all upset about it because he's a mark and doesn't realize that this is the point, is that it's a subversive course.
Uh-huh.
You bring in, The Lion King is so important. And most pressingly, I went to watch it this week, and it's not on any of the things.
Of course,
it's Disney. The Netflix, the Vudu, the Hulu.
Yeah.
So for some kids, all it exists as is like that show that I saw in New York when I got like pushed around by 14 Elmos. And then I had a server at the diner who was like, kids.
Right.
And then I saw The Lion King, and I went home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, they need to see the movie and study it as literature. Must teach everyone out there
The
Lion King.
It's a line in the sand. All right.
That's it.
Deirdre, who is at Dread Pirate Mama, thanked us for our So You're Going to See episode on Titus Andronicus.
You're
as
welcome.
It, quote, helped her see the play as more nuanced than the same old torture porn interpretation, end quote. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, we prefer that it would not be torture porn. We don't think, I don't think, that, you know, Kevin does not think that's the best way to go.
I agree.
Okay, great. I just wasn't sure. She also later mentioned that she was amped about a wrestling themed episode, which I didn't realize Dread Pirate Mama was a wrestling fan.
I believe it.
I believe she also threw up at some point she
poor girl.
Stop. She put up, would you stop? She put up Roddy Piper hitting Jimmy Snuka with a coconut
at some point.
Yeah, I believe, which is always instantly like, you know what you're talking about.
I mean, she's the Dread Pirate. We had some more info on Twitter from our dear friend at Buffalo MJ. MJ Radio.
Yes.
Did you see this sonnet?
I did, yes. So do you want to give a little context on...
Sure. Was he one of the lucky recipients of our birthday?
He was.
MJ
Brady.
How did that happen?
So MJ Brady is one of our Patreon supporters, and for all of the folks who were Patreon supporters, which you can find us at patreon.com/noholdsbarred, before April 1st, we had a couple of Proseccos and sent out birthday cards for Shakespeare.
Prosecchi is the plural of Prosecco.
Prosecchi. We are children of the Prosecchi.
That's right.
Riding on our ecclemas to Happy Station. And we sent out birthday cards to all of our Patreon supporters. So that is another reason to get on our Patreon support bandwagon, because you'll get random letters from us that are borderline legible, depending on what order we wrote them in.
And the ink at the time.
Yes.
And lots of other things.
Because by the time we get to postcard 19 and 20...
it gets real interesting.
Several bottles have been emptied, so...
Well,
sorry.
There is that.
Well, so, yes. MJ Brady was received... I think he was in the last round of cards that we did.
Oh, he got some of the...
Yeah, and the MJ, as a Buffalo Bills fan, we may have unloaded on him... a bit unfairly than you'd expect for someone who's a donor.
Right. Well, you know.
Sorry.
Treat him like we love him.
Which
like
we do.
Patriots. We do, of course. Why would we not?
Why not?
Gotta love people who pen sonnets to the praise of, I think this is Tom Brady is what it says.
Mm.
I'll give it a stab.
Take a rip.
I'll give it a stab. Oh, wide right. You'll haunt me for years. When Super Bowl glory escaped our grasp, my town and kin broke down in violent tears, and for one endless breath, all Buffalo gasped. But wait. What's this? Are we talking of sports? This must be due to some online podcast, for I oft don't find athletic retorts. This answer, I know, may put me on blast, but I care not for this ball of pigskin. Give me instead a pen to dot my days, a belly of laughs and two shots of gin, oh, and two vain fools offering Shakespeare's praise. So, thanks, sincerely, for this birthday card. A toast to our love of Billy the Bard.
Very nice.
I will say that was... very nice.
Mm.
A very nice reading by me. Because this
the original vain fool
is tough. I gotta tell you, MJ, this is some either advanced poetry or some
We'll send our notes to the editor.
Luckily, a great actor can make it work, so you're welcome, MJ.
God.
You came home. The tweet was "came home to a great surprise." Well, that audio version read by me is an even greater surprise.
You are incorrigible.
You are welcome.
Insufferable. Abigail Poor, who is at Abigail Poor on Twitter, tweeted us.
Poor?
Yes, P-O-R-E.
Oh, nice.
Interesting thing to dig on. Tweeted us.
I was picturing the way you pronounced it. Poor, like P-O-O-R-E, is what I heard.
No.
And I was like, oh, it's an interesting, beautiful name. I like that spelling.
It's not that.
Okay.
Okay.
Like poor, like a pour of hair.
Or like a skin pour.
Oh.
Tweeted us saying, working on my As You Like It paper and listening to At No Holds Bardcast, when Lydia Huth asked me how it's going, it is but so-so. Nailed it. I think
good work.
Abigail is a high school student or a nice college work. Student. I'm not sure. Oh, I thought high school student. And then I asked, what's the
your
paper
attorney?
On? I asked my legal counsel, and so I asked what the paper was on, and Abigail wrote, Family Dynamics and Enclosure Riots, so it's definitely an adventure.
What?
It's a paper on As You Like It about family dynamics and enclosure riots.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Enclosure riots. Can we take a guess at what that might be?
I mean, when I think enclosure riots, I think like... at like soccer riots where they put the fences up around the field and then like people get crazy, but they're like trapped.
How does that happen in As You Like It?
It could be in the first scene at the fight. it depending on, I've seen productions of As You Like It where it's like they're in a fort, like the one they did in the park,
sure,
where they're in a Civil War fort in a dangerous territory, so they're like trapped in there, basically.
Could an enclosure riot be a situation that you want no part of, but you just find yourself suddenly stuck in?
Maybe.
So like enclosure riots and As You Like It is the touchstone lens of like, well, I want no part of this.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, let us know. Abigail, send us what the actual question was. I'm very curious. And how the paper turned out, hopefully, right? Well. Because it's not over our pay grade, I'll tell you that for sure.
Judi Dench is in the news again.
Yes.
For coming after American actors for being lazy.
Was it American actors or all actors?
Judi Dench is in the news again for coming after young actors
for being lazy. Uh-huh.
Like the new generation of Shakespeare lovers don't take the time to do their research.
Uh-huh.
Which, as someone who has prepared for minutes for this podcast, I take umbrage with.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to officially, because it's the 100th episode spectacular, challenge Judi Dench to a duel.
Yeah. I mean, also, hey, Judy, you want to talk about being lazy? How about rolling up for 8 minutes in Shakespeare in Love and winning an Oscar? Like, there are people who are killing themselves for hours.
Right.
And you put on, you strap up the bodice, and you're like, 8 minutes, boom, where's my statue?
Right.
Like, get out of town, lazy.
Lazy.
We're Listen, working smarter, not harder, Judith.
We don't need to know who came before us, because we are the past, the present, and the future.
The best
we are the fourth edition.
The best there was, and the best there ever will be, Jude.
No holds barred. If you hate this, and I really hope you do, please tweet
God,
us.
I hope you do. God, I hope you care at all. I hope you have some emotion. We're just trying so hard.
But seriously, I'll duel you.
I would love to
Jeopardy style.
Beat you up.
Jeopardy style. Just like Shakespearean theater history, 10 questions, Jeopardy style.
I
Me
love it.
V. Judi Dench.
Love.
I'm available.
I love it. We want to thank everyone for all the great support we got for our live episode last week. It was so great, both the people that were here in person, the people that were participating live on Facebook Live,
yeah,
and then the people
fun.
That watched later and the people that downloaded later. We appreciate it. It was quite an adventure, quite a nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah,
but
it was.
It was really great, so thank everyone for that.
What did you think of that, Kev? We've actually seen each other very briefly since that happened.
I thought it was great. I actually liked it a lot more in hindsight than I did at the time.
Okay.
Because it's a weird thing for us to be, you know, I find it's a weird thing to be sitting here talking to you in a very, like, closed dialogue,
yeah,
doing this with, like, 30 people sitting here being like, and now what?
Right.
It felt like a lot of pressure, and I'm not that entertaining. I'm more entertaining when you're listening to me doing while you're doing something else, like a baseball game.
Like a baseball game.
At best.
The baseball game of humans.
Kevin
that's,
Gandardo.
That's a pretty high
I'll
compliment,
take it.
Actually. Really?
You know.
It's honest, yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, I really thought it was fun. I it was interesting. It was the first time in 99 episodes that we were sitting on the same side of a table.
Right.
I mean, that was interesting. Like, mm-hmm. Even like the little things like that.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, okay, we do this in the podcast format for a reason.
Right.
So, like, to try to bridge it to video I think we learned a lot.
Yeah.
I certainly learned a lot.
Yeah.
I still have not watched it, and I don't think I ever will.
I don't know that I will either. I listened to it, and I think that's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds great.
I also got further details on, I know Tommy C, my dad, dropped an angry emoji during the pod. I found out the root cause of the angry emoji.
Yes.
It was my 18-month-old nephew, Jackson,
huh?
Who slapped the angry emoji button while my dad was watching on his iPad.
Was Jackson listening?
Jackson was listening, and I think he was unhappy with our interpretation of possibly the Cleopatra question.
That is fair. I also think that Jackson was upset because there was some sort of confusion over first and second banana.
Mm.
And I think that when I was speaking to Jackson on Google Chat earlier this week,
sure,
he confirmed that I am indeed first banana, as witnessed by the banana suit. And for the listeners out there who are like, what's with the banana suit?
It's a great question.
I got to tell you, go f*** yourself.
Okay. Interesting second banana attitude.
I'm a first banana.
Methinks the lady doth banana too much.
I think it's worth mentioning that we're doing some Shakespeareances in New York City.
Yes, exciting news, Dan. Tell us
this
all about
it. Exciting! This is the announcement. We've been playing with announcing things via different mediums.
Yeah.
So this is the actual announcement.
Formal, yeah.
That we will be doing with Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, Shakespeareances happening in New York City starting Monday, June 12th with As You Like It at the Way Station in Prospect Heights.
Yeah, in Washington. That's 2 days after my birthday, so I will still accept birthday presents if you can come to that
drunk still.
Shakespeare, what, possibly.
Yeah.
Please come out June 12th, As You Like It. It'll be great. We also want to, you know, the Way Station has been very awesome in allowing us to do this, so we'd love to pack that place. It's the, for those of you who may know it, it's the Doctor Who bar. It has a TARDIS as a bathroom, which
it
is
does.
Its kind of claim to fame.
Yeah, it's really cool. The vibe there is very, very cool. Andy Michael is a bartender on Monday nights.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, this could be a very long bleep or a cut.
Oh, boy.
But I was in there earlier tonight prepping for the duel. And I was like, hey, Michael, what do you think are qualities that define a good, like, PBS kids TV show host?
Uh-huh.
And he's, like, polishing beer steins with, like, a bar rag. And he's like, I don't know, not a pedophile.
It's a good call.
I was like,
it's a good call.
Like, didn't have it on my list, but I probably should add that.
like, good to have on there.
Like, this is our kind of guy.
Yep. So come on out June 12th. Mark your calendars. It'll be a ton of fun if you are in New York City. Yeah, help us make it a success so we can keep it here because that'd be a lot of fun.
Really fun. Really.
Yeah.
And the day before, we are doing the Roman plays up in Northampton, New Hampshire.
That's right.
At Throwback Brewery.
It will be an adventurous weekend.
It's going to be a lot. We did 8 plays in one day last year, so 5 in 2 days is pretty easy.
Easy, yeah.
But, you know, we're doing, not starting at 1 p.m., Coriolanus, Julius Caesar, Antony and Cleopatra, Titus Andronicus. So that'll get us through into the sunset, some sort of travel back to New York for As You Like It the next day.
Woof.
This is That Grind. This is why we love your support.
It'll be
and we,
great.
And we have a lot of travel to listen to these episodes.
We sure do. Speaking of your support, we have 3 new iTunes reviews, which gets us up to 49 reviews.
Come on.
Somebody put us over the 50 mark, for the love of God. Our iTunes reviews user of the North writes, as a high school English teacher, it brings me much joy to listen to these two fellows banter and play around Shakespeare while also offering an impressive depth of knowledge and stage experience. Dan and Kevin are a delight.
Hmm.
I couldn't agree more.
Fellows. Not steward, not Dan and Kevin, but fellows.
Mm. Like, fellowship usually comes with some scratch, right? We'll take
that's
it.
Gordon 12th night.
User I Am The Fangirl writes, It is but so-so.
Oh, no!
JK, this is becoming one of my fave podcasts and my go-to on long drives and commutes because I'll always be entertained and engaged, even if it's a sports episode. Smiley face with the tongue sticking out.
What's up, fangirl?
Thank you, I Am The Fangirl. And user NM Green writes...
Green. Never mind. Green.
Never mind.
Green.
Writes, hashtag top fantasy sports podcast by a fair of star-crossed hashtag bros.
Nice.
Rumor, you two are bookmen, tell me by your wit. Suppose within the girdle of these walls are now confined 2 mighty monarchies, for 2 of them I know them to be as true-bred cowards as ever turned back. For these 2 heads do seem to speak to me, I think thee, for 2 ordinaries, 2 of thy whelps, 2 rogues in buckram suits, with too much blood, too little brain, these 2 may run mad, but 2 curs shall tame each other. I know you 2 are rival enemies, 'twere pity 2 such friends should be long foes. 2 lads that thought there was no more behind fell curs of bloody kind that do afflict each other. Love and be friends as 2 such men should be. Oh, what scandal is to our crown that 2 such noble peers as ye should jar! 2 stars keep not their motion in one sphere. 2 men ride of a horse. 1 must ride behind, again, as 2 yoke devils sworn to either's purpose. You that way and you this, but 2 in company. Each man apart, I'll sing one alone. So 2 together weeping make one woe. From forth the fatal loins of these 2 a generation in pious rage, the 2 that do cling together and choke their art. If 2 such murderers as yourselves came to you, if we imagine no worse than them that they are themselves, are yet 2 Romans living such as these? 2 of these fellows must know and own this thing of darkness I acknowledge mine. Here come 2 of...
I think this person...
just started like Google searching phrases
it's
from Shakespeare.
All the phrases from Shakespeare that include 2.
Oh.
So I'll
go. How long does it go?
That's it.
Oh.
Yeah, there's 2 more lines. So, anyways, thanks for the 5 stars, NM Green. And there
I see.
Yes.
Someone was high while doing this.
Yes.
What do they mean by that? Oh, never mind. Green.
Right.
Got it.
So thank you, folks. We need one more.
Right?
One more review.
Doesn't hurt to
ask. And you don't even need to write that much.
It doesn't hurt to ask for a review. Come on now.
Get us to 50. Do the right thing. Great. Kevin Grader. Five stars.
No, five stars. They are great. They are great. I was thinking about something for the 100th episode.
Okay.
I know we try to keep this pretty straight and narrow down, like down the middle of the road.
Oh, boy.
But I've been thinking a lot lately, especially about working on Shakespeare, working on the podcast. Like an hour of a day once a week is prepping to do this.
Yep.
And thinking about, like, there's a lot of stuff coming up here in the city for the company personally that we're doing Shakespeare-wise. And it's one thing to be like, well, we could talk about that here, but who cares? The bigger takeaway has been, like, the amount of time I've had to spend in the last 2 weeks either with text or, like, walking through the park and, like, thinking about text or working on a monologue. And I feel very grateful.
Nice.
For the podcast. I feel, very grateful to be, like, I get to spend my time working with these words.
Yeah.
And it's really great. There's something about, I was thinking about what makes Shakespeare so good, which is a question that comes up a lot. And I feel like a realization I've had in the last 2 weeks is that what makes him so good is that you really have to be like a fully alive human being to do this stuff. That you have people who are in the middle of the woods and in the middle of a courtly like wit battle in the same scene, let alone the same play.
Yeah.
So to act this stuff, you got to just kind of exist.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good thing to have to do.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say for the 100th episode.
That's nice.
Love you all, everybody, especially me.
Oh, my God. Yes. But thank you for everyone who tunes in and listens and reviews and rates.
Tunes in.
It's great to work on this every week. And the fact that people care is still shocking and amazing.
It's really kind of cool, right?
And, it means a lot to us. And, you know, it keeps us going. So thank you for all of our listeners who have gotten us through 100 goddamned episodes of this thing.
Which is roughly 200 bottles of bourbon.
Approximately. Right. I had a bit of a discussion with the folks over at Clear Shakespeare.
Yes, you did.
Who is at Clear Shakes on Twitter, who is Akiva Fox, who runs that podcast. He put up an assertion on Twitter that, quote, he doesn't like R3 as a play at all, end quote, which made me huck my phone at the wall that someone who has a Shakespeare, any sort of Shakespeare, quote-unquote, authority would make such an assertion. So I may or may not have challenged him to a Lincoln Douglas-style debate.
Yes.
And that is something that he and I have both accepted in general.
Yes. So in general, meaning on social media, which in 2017 means
that's
you have accepted.
Legally binding, unless I don't like it later, in which case I'll call it fake news. Right. But you can look forward to, apparently at some point this summer, Akiva and I will have a debate about Richard III.
Right. So if you happen to be somewhere between here and Akiva, which is somewhere
he
near
is in North Carolina someplace.
So somewhere in that middle area, maybe the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else around there. Baltimore has great great crabs.
Mm-hmm.
Very tasty soft shell crabs.
Sure. So
somewhere that has good food and a bar that we could debate at.
Yeah.
Let us know, because I think this is going down.
It could go down. And you know what? I'm very excited. And I'm also going to be looking. I talked to Liam about this. Dan, I would, of course, like you to be there as well. But when I enter, when this debate happens, whether it's on the internet or in person, I'm going to need an entourage like a boxer walking in. So I'd like you to come in holding up like a championship belt of some kind behind me.
I'll think about it.
You're not going to be on my side?
I'm always on your side.
Okay, good. Super kick party, dog. I need you out there.
I'm concerned about the Liam part.
Well, he'd be behind you. You know, obviously, he'd be there. You'd come in first.
So I'd come in first, like kind of like in a robe.
I would be in the robe.
Maybe in a banana suit? In a robe?
Perfect, yes. Like, in a banana suit.
Can we hold hands?
No.
I don't know if I'm into this.
Why would we hold hands?
Because we're bananas.
No, I assure you. That is not binding. We are not bananas.
Listen, I'm first banana.
I already lost the debate. The debate is over. I've lost it.
We got to work on that.
No, we need to work on that a lot.
Yes. So, yes, I will be there holding the belt. and cheering you on.
All right.
I'll also be selling jerseys and other things, other sundry goods. I'll be selling oranges, if you know what I mean.
And M. Green is very excited.
Yeah. What? No, not that kind of goods. Uh-huh. Just sexual favors.
Oh, good.
Wait, oh, God.
At a steep discount. All right. What else? Do you have anything else other than...
Yeah, I do. I do. I got a big shout out. Do you have a pen and paper with you?
No, but I can take notes on my computer.
I'm going to spell this. I need a pronunciation from you.
Okay, hit me.
This is a shout out to at OKSADUDNOT.
N-O-T?
N-O-T-T-I-R-B.
Okay is a dude not turb.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought ox a dude not turb.
Okay.
Shout out. Okay. Okay, sad dud. No,
sure.
Well, they're SMing, stage managing, Into the Woods currently at Haley Lancaster High. Hmm. And they asked whether or not there was a physical...
Lancaster. Okay, good.
Yeah, of course. They asked whether or not there was a physical description of Macbeth in Macbeth. So this question was sent to us via at Ye Pitts Lancaster on Twitter. So I took some time with the play last week, and the short answer is no. There is no physical description of Macbeth in the play. There are descriptions about Macbeth, but almost all of them you could argue are about his soul or about something other than like the way he looks.
Okay, interesting.
There's like one reference to hair, but it doesn't mean he necessarily has hair on top of his head. He has some kind of hair.
Right. He's not
hairless. He has an arm.
Right.
So, we know that.
All right. It's an interesting question.
Right?
Yeah.
But it was cool because when the question came in, I was like, yeah, I'll get to that tomorrow. And Haley wrote to the student, like tagged the student, and was like, see, I told you they'd respond.
On the clock.
We're out there. So, I hope whatever this student is, good luck with the show.
Mm.
Into the Woods is a natural jump from Shakespeare. As I've always believed, Sondheim is the modern Shakespeare.
My God.
So, I'm happy to talk to you about that. Oaks, I didn't know to it. And hope that the show goes well at Haley Lancaster High.
All right, are we ready for 100th episode presents?
I didn't bring you any presents.
You didn't bring me any presents?
I've got a producer here for you and a tall boy.
A tall boy's fine, thank you.
Sweet.
Okay, so I guess these are 100th episode presents for our listeners as well as Dan.
Oh, I will play the role of listeners.
Okay, listeners.
What?
You may have... What? You may we got some flack because you may or may not have noticed that our old episodes have been disappearing. This is because on our current hosting situation at Podomatic, there is a hard data cap of a certain number of gigs that we can have. Oh, my God. There's a certain number of gigabytes that you can have. So as new episodes have gone up, I've had to delete the regular weekly episodes. So all the So You're Going to Season, all the wild cards are still up. But basically all the other regular episodes until like episode 40 have disappeared.
Okay.
So for our 100th episode, we have a new hosting arrangement at Libsyn.
Oh.
And so all of our episodes will be going back up from episode 2 to episode 100. They will be available at noholdsbarred.libsyn.com.
Nice.
They may not be up right this second, but over the next week or so, they will all be going up.
Hey, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So we'll be transferring everything over there. Oh. They don't have an all-time data cap, so they can go up there and they can live there forever.
That's awesome.
So that'll be our exciting new home for our library online.
That's awesome.
That does not include episode 1, which we have referenced earlier.
Yes.
And we've gotten a lot of flack on the internet about people who want to hear episode 1.
This is the second time you've used the word flack.
Flack.
So, how would you describe flack?
The second syllable in Aflack. The insurance company. So not our sponsor, Aflac. We've gotten a lot of requests to include that as a Patreon donation.
Yes.
And, you know, as, we have a real, both of us, I think, have an aversion to setting too high a barrier for our donations
for
on Patreon for anything, right? So right now we have that $3. It's like half a beer a month and you get everything.
Yeah, half a New York beer a month.
Right, exactly. So... we are introducing a second tier on our Patreon page in honor of our 100th episode.
Oh.
For $3, you get everything we do, You get all of our bonus content.
Yes.
You get whenever we decide to send letters to you, once you give us your mailing address.
Yes.
You get the 12th night card. Whatever other bonus content we have.
Yes.
You get all of it for
all.
$3 a month.
But wait.
And there's one tier above that.
Is there more?
There's more. For $100 a month.
Yes.
You get everything at the $3 tier.
Yes.
And we will send you a cassette tape of our first episode in a cassette player that we will mail to you under the condition that you do not digitize that file.
Sure, great.
You can keep the tape and the tape player and listen to it on a Walkman.
Yes.
Do not put it on the internet. And to be clear, this is not extortion or price gouging. We just really don't want you to hear that episode.
Right. It's really not good.
And it's not worth it.
Right.
It's a bad episode.
It's not good.
We're and very drunk. It's
very,
very
incriminating.
Long. Do not do this thing. Do not donate at this level.
I kind of want to donate. So I don't,
you can.
I don't know where the episode is. I'd like to hear it.
I have it. I've listened to it. You do not.
Okay.
It's bad.
I don't want to hear this.
You don't. But if any of you do, $100. Don't do this thing. But everyone else, $3. You get everything else, including good stuff.
Right.
Useful
like
stuff.
Useful stuff.
Like not garbage. Yeah.
I believe it's garbage.
Garbage. So yeah. That's our exciting opportunity for you to literally burn money. Do not do this thing.
Hashtag stay home.
And then our last, the last piece of exciting 100th episode news
yes.
is if our Libsyn address is too complicated, there is now another place you can find our episodes. Daniel, if you would be so kind, could you go to your browser?
Yes.
And head on over to noholdsbarred.com.
No. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, look
right.
at this.
We have a home on the internet at noholdsbarred.com. From there, you can listen to all of our episodes. You can learn more about us. You can find...
I look awesome.
What?
I just look great.
There's not going to be a picture of it.
No, I'm looking in the mirror.
Oh, you're the worst.
I just caught myself in a reflection
in a
mirror, and I got to say, I look real good right now.
I'm going to blow my brains out. So, yes, we have a website, noholdsbarred.com. If you want to send us messages, you can do so from there. If you want to check out our So You're Going to See archive, you can check it out on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check it out. That's our new home on the web. We will be slowly uploading. It is very much a work in progress.
Aren't we all?
Mm-hmm. So it may not, not everything may be up there right this second, but again, we will be updating that over the coming weeks. But it's very exciting to have a home on the internet.
Awesome.
Yeah, right?
Super. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Nice work.
Check it out. High five.
High five. High five city.
That is, yeah, that's what I got. You got anything else?
I don't think so. Word of the week?
I do not have it. I don't know. What do you got?
Mark.
Perfect. Nice. Very good.
You like that?
That's very good.
Mobile Queen is good.
What does that mean?
To note or to listen to or like, to make a note of. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, mark me.
Yeah, I heard you say that. That's very good.
Yeah, thank you.
If you would like to, so we talked about this for a second, but if you would like to support the show and want to kick us a few bucks, not $100, please, just $3, you can send it our way via Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. If you donate $3 a month to help us out the show, including upgrade things like upgrading our storage and giving us a home on the web,
yeah,
you'll get on our 12th night card list next January and also have access to other benefits like such as when we randomly send out Shakespeare birthday cards,
which is awesome.
Special thanks to Deirdre Brill, Kairu Yao, and Tom and Noreen Condardo, who became our latest Patreon patrons this month. Thank you for all of you.
Thanks, everybody.
If you don't have the means or interest in supporting us financially but still want to help us out, you can do so by giving us a rating and review on iTunes so we can try and keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcasts. So please do that. That would also be incredibly helpful. To keep in touch with us until next time, you can find us online at noholdsbarred.com. You can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. You can follow us on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com.
Slash
noholdsbarredcast. So, On behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company. Oh, shoot. We just did all of those third things, but the recorder deleted all the content, and we're definitely not doing it again right now. But listen, we promise. We'll take a fresh shot at it on episode 200. In any case, we'll try harder next time. Till then, my name is Kevin.
I'm not Mark. I'm Dan, you schmuck. I like my chocolate dark. I do.